This is just some things that I would like to share because they've been on my mind for a while, and I don't know if they're going to be coherent or not. It's just things I think I should say or should have said. So let's just jump into it. Most of us that have been to church for years and years and years, especially in the bygone years, you know, years ago, we were only given half of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians it says, you are saved by faith through grace, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And that's the truth. And remember the word grace is, you're saved by faith through the grace. The grace is the favor of God that He bestows upon you. But the big, big turning point of the gospel is more than just the fact that we are saved. Don't get me wrong, I like being saved. I was really relieved the night that I got right. You know, I can tell you about it. I was over I've told you some of it, so don't need to go that far back. But I was there, and finally they got around and explained it all to me, and I called on the name of the Lord. And this guy gave me a little aluminum cross that said, God loves you, on it. And I remember all night long, I kept waking up that night after midnight. I got home, went to bed, and I kept waking up, and I was probably the only time I ever remember, other than having the flu, I was literally drenching wet. And I would just keep waking up, saying out loud. I would wake up and I'd be saying it. No, no, they said if I believed, I'm saved. I believe, and I'm saved. And I would wake up and I'd be saying that. And I'd go to sleep again. And then I'd wake up again, I'd be going, no, they said. And I'd have that cross in my hand, and I held it, and I just kept, no, no, they said I'd be saved if I believed, and I believed. You know, I don't know what was going on, but I really kind of wonder. It says that as the seed of God is sown, that the birds or the fowl of the air come and try to devour it before it has a chance to spring forth and, you know, and produce a crop. And I kind of wonder if that wasn't the fowl of the air, which is code word for dark forces, that were coming and trying to get me to give up on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if I trust Him, that He would forgive me of my sins. I did not really come to understand that, because wouldn't you know, it's one of the first things somebody says is, well, you know, if you have ever committed the unpardonable sin, you won't make it. And immediately I knew that I had committed that sin. Didn't really know what it was, but I had to be the one to commit it. So it was like almost a year later before God finally got through, Doyle, you are saved by grace through faith. I like you, I favor you. And I hung on to that for years. I went to Tennessee to a Bible college for a semester, came back, I ended up at Moody Bible after a while, and for years that was it. Saved by grace through faith, saved by grace through faith, saved by grace through faith. But the turning point, the major thing that of the gospel that is so important, was first spoken of in by the prophet Habakkuk. Yeah, that's the way you say it. Habakkuk. Some people say Habakkuk, but Habakkuk. And it's in chapter 2, verse 4. I'm not going to read it, but that's in the Old Testament. And he's the one, and he's the one that articulated it clearly, is what I'm trying to say. He's the one that just flat out said it in a succinct way. And St. Paul comes along, and he picks this phrase up and he starts explaining it in such a way to us. And he uses it three times. Now, Habakkuk says it and Paul says it three times. Like we've said in Hebrew thought, if something's said once, it's important. If it's said twice, it's real important. But if God repeats something and repeats something and repeats something, He is trying to emphatically get it across to our little pea brains that this is so important, we need to pay attention to it and really take it to heart. So when you're reading something and over again you keep coming across the same concept or the same words in Scripture and He repeats it, take it to heart. He's really trying to communicate to us. And it's so hard sometimes, I think, because it's, to me, it's just hard. I, as much as I've read, I have accumulated a lot of facts and information that's stuck in my head. But until you get wisdom and understanding, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good, because you can rattle all this kind of stuff off. But you've got to have to grasp it, hold it into you. And then once it's opened up to you and your eyes are open, it's almost like a healing going on. You go, wow. And you see it all, you know, even if it's the words that you've heard over and over again, when God finally brings it home and bursts forth into our understanding, that is those life-changing moments. And the phrase is, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk says that the righteous shall live by faith. Are you the righteous? Have you been good enough? No! But God didn't say how you had to get righteous. He just said you have to have it. And how you get it is, would you give me righteousness as a gift? And He says, yes! Jesus Christ died, His blood was shed, and then He gifts us with righteousness. The righteous, that's you, shall live by faith. And I was always contexted this in a certain way. I mean, they preached it this way and always pointed, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know. It was always pointed at and said, the just shall live by faith, and we will live forever in the heavens. We will walk the streets of gold. And it's all true. But the just shall live by faith. I've got a question for you. Are you alive or are you dead? I'm living. The just shall live by faith. And you'll have abundance whenever you start living by faith and not just living. And a lot of us are Christians and yet we don't walk by faith. We don't live by it because we haven't come to the place where we actually trust what He has to say. It's not all out there in the sweet by and by. It's right now. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. My needs. When I get to heaven, what good is that verse when I'm in heaven? I've got streets of gold. I'll have a mansion. I'll have white robes. I'll have this big feast to attend. What needs will I have in heaven? The only time that promise can apply is right here, right now, in this day, in this age, in your life. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Not according to Walmart, NAL, or any other place you happen to be working. Good thing to have a job. But it's He who shall supply all of your needs according to His riches. And it says all, A-L-L. Does it mean cash only? No. It means all. Anything that you need emotionally, psychologically, anything you need, He shall supply it. And it says, you know, people are crazy. Oh, people are crazy. Well, when you come to Jesus Christ, it says that He gives you right thinking also. He shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. But folks, I'd ever had it for years. I was saved by grace through faith. And that was half the gospel. The other half of it is I'm alive and well now. And He is the one who's supposed to be supplying all my needs. And Jesus comes right out and says these things. He says, don't fret about tomorrow. God knows all of your needs before you ask. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what clothes you're going to wear. He talks about this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and again in verse 31, Luke chapter 12, and verse 22. He says, don't worry about this stuff. My God will take care of it. My Father will take care of it. When you called on Jesus Christ, you quit being a child of Adam and Eve. You became a child of God. And if He met Jesus' needs, He'll meet your needs in exactly the same way. Sometimes just flat out miraculous. And that's great. Actually, it's a lot of fun when you see those things happen. But I can tell you this, getting right up to see those things happen sometimes is a real nail biter. Come on, God. And truthfully, that's just the absolute truth. It's great, but I love it when it happens, and I dread it before it gets there. You know, come on, God, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. A lot of times, people will ask. They've asked one of the great theologians. In my mind, it's gone. Which one they ask? And they said, "What's the most important theology that you can share?" And this is it. Phyllis, this is for you too. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Folks, that is great theology. While we were yet sinners, God sent His only begotten Son to us. And He said, you're never going to be perfect, but I love you and I'll take care of it. Come to me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? The Bible tells me so. It's the Word of God. It was inspired. That means God breathed. That's what the word inspired. God breathed it into these guys, and I don't know how He does it. And people, they have big theological, I don't care. God breathed His Word, and there it is. And the truth is there, and we can read it, and we can trust in it. The Bible also goes on to say this. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And I've heard it said, oh, brothers and sisters, if you have something troubling you, you need to pray. You need to have that perfect love. You don't have perfect love because when you got the perfect love for God, your fears will dissipate. That's absolute truth. And at the same time, that's absolute impossibility. If I could do something perfectly, why would I need Jesus? I can't do things perfectly. While I was yet a sinner, sinner is that failure to hit the mark. That's what the Greek word means, failure to hit the mark. While I was yet a failure at not hitting the perfect mark, He loved me. Whoa, Jesus is perfect. He has perfect love, therefore. And that's good enough. When you come to understand that He has the perfect love and it's not on your shoulders to love Him perfectly, but He loves you perfectly, it casts out all your fears. Settle in onto that thing there. Settle in onto that idea that God and Jesus loves me perfectly. And it's not enough to say the words and to have them as facts floating around in your head. You've got to say the words and believe them. Sometimes we don't quite grasp what God's trying to get at with us, I don't think. Jesus says in John 14, 26 and 27, I'll try to flip over there. Oh, going the wrong way. problem with being dyslexic, go the wrong ways a lot of times. Y'all see the way I spell words. John 14, 26 and 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I go to the Father. I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it came to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Let's back it all the way up to 26. Ha! There we are. 25, these things I've spoken to you, being yet present with you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, by the way, the Comforter means somebody that's called alongside to help. The Paraclete. He's there for you. He's there with you. He does all sorts of things, and we can get into that sometime. But the Comforter, the one who's called alongside of you, is the Holy Ghost. We hear that word ghost, and it doesn't mean boo, Holy Ghost. It's a German derivative. It's kind of mean, but what it means is the Holy Guest. So, the Comforter, the Holy Guest, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. Here's the verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would be rejoicing because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now, I have told you before it came to pass that when it comes to pass, you might believe. But it's that idea of my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The just shall live by faith. Perfect love cast out fear. My peace I leave with you. All of that, I've puzzled over this phrase, my peace I leave with you. And I was, tonight, I was trying to get this together, and it was like, my peace, He gives it to us, just like salvation. He gives it to us, and we just have to ask for it. We just have to receive it, actually, and just say, yeah, I'll take that peace. What is the peace of Christ, and how is it different than that which the world gives? People are whipping beer cans at me as they drive by me on Route 50, and I don't even know these people, and it's car after car throwing beer cans at me. And I've had peace. But what is it that makes Jesus' peace different from the world's peace? And then it was just like, it's relational, Doyle. The world gives you peace when it leaves you alone. Jesus has peace because He's related to the Father. The world can take its peace away from you anytime people are throwing beer cans at you or sicking their dogs on you or just anything at all that stirs the pot and gets all things. Yeah. But your relationship with God is something that's totally consistent. You have peace with God. You have a relationship with Him. So get your eyes off of everything else and consistently look at Him. Perfect love cast out fear. The world over here can agitate and do everything, but as long as you're looking at your God, things are going to be okay. When you're in trouble and your soul is trouble and you're tore up in your spirit or any way at all, sit down and focus on God and say things like, He said He shall supply all of my needs. He said that He gave me His peace. He said He would never leave me nor forsake me. Go over these words and don't just say them as words. Focus on them and settle into them and let them settle into your heart and into your life and into your mind. And as you establish and work with that, I don't like the word work, but as you work with that idea and you're meditating on the Word of God and saying, I have a relationship with Him and His Word has made promises to me based on His Word, not what's ongoing here around me, but based on His Word, things are going to be all right. Fret not. Don't worry about it, little flock. Focus on God. He loves me. Therefore, because He loves me, fear will be cast away from me. Peter did something that I've never done. Peter walked on water. I've never done it. As long as he was focused on the Word of God, Jesus Christ is the Word of God, while he was focused on God, storms were raging all around him. He was focused, he was focused, he was focused. And as long as he focused on the perfect love that God, Jesus, had for him, he was able to walk through the storms of life. When we have those storms of life, we don't have to, we need to always come back to a place of focus, focus, focus on Jesus Christ and His promises to us. A lot of times we get together and we pray, Oh God, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which is absolute truth. It's that passionate prayer. But sometimes we have that passionate prayer and we don't understand it can be passionate and peaceful because it's, God, I need this and I know, yes, that You will supply all of my needs according to Your riches and glory. One of the things I was really wanting to talk about, and I realize I use the second coming stuff as a hook, as they say, to bring people in so that you would come to understand, so I could talk about the covenants. But the most important part of those last sermons wasn't so much the second coming. We believe He's coming back. But it was the idea and understanding of the contract that we're living under is the most important thing that we need to understand. We need to live by faith what is said in that contract, that I can trust, that I can look at God knowing that perfectly He will carry out all of His words to me. I don't have to worry about it. If God said thus and so, I know it will be thus and so. What did He tell us that's so important? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What's glory? What is glory of God? What's the doxa of God? Yes, folks, you can buy the last week's sermon as you're exiting the building. Just kidding. Remember, the word glory, doxa, is God's good opinion. By whom we have access by faith unto this grace, when we trust in Him, we have access to this favor wherein we stand, which means He likes us. That's what we're standing is in the favor of God. And we rejoice. And the word hope doesn't mean cross my fingers going, I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope. The word hope is an absolute confident assurance that that's going to happen. We haven't seen it yet, but we know for a fact that it's going to happen. So we rejoice in this confident assurance of something's going to happen, and that is of the glory of God, the doxa of God. Doxa, like I said last week, I always thought it meant this shiny, shimmery thing around me. But actually it means God's good opinion of me. I have, through faith, through Jesus Christ, a favor that I'm standing in. I'm standing in this favor, and I rejoice in this absolute confidence that God has a good opinion of me. I know what I've done, and yet God has a good opinion of me. And that is all because through, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I'm having a hard time really trying to communicate what I really am trying to say. The New Testament covenant is a covenant of peace. God is no longer your enemy. God is not even any longer your judge. You have peace with the Almighty God. You have nothing to fear from Him ever, ever again, because of all of our sins and failures was dealt with on Jesus Christ. All the punishment was dealt with on Him. So that all that's left is this favor that God has wanted to show us. He's wanted to shower His love down upon us, and we have this peace with our God. So don't ever think, oh, God's not on my side. Oh, God's not listening to my prayer. I've done something wrong. You have peace with God. God is not out to get you. He is out to bless you. He is out to favor you. He's out to meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. And it's all done through this, I trust in Him. The word faith just means I trust. I have confidence in His Word. That's what the word faith means. It's Hebrew, or it's Greek, pistuo. I have confidence in what He says is true. I have confidence that He will meet all of my needs according to His riches in glory. I have that confidence. And if you don't have that confidence, go to Him in prayer and say, God, I need that peace. I need that calm assurance, that resting. I need that confidence that You are going to honor Your Word. I know Your Word says it, and it's just not quite with me yet. And I'm not calling You a liar. I'm calling on You for help. Help me. Holy Spirit, help me. And there's somebody said, oh, I know, Doyle, that you should only pray a prayer one time, and that's it. Because if you say the same prayer twice, that shows lack of faith. I don't know where you heard that from, but Jesus says this, he who knocks and keeps on knocking, he who asks and keeps on asking, they're the ones that get the answers. So if you didn't get it, don't doubt it. Just repeat it. God, I'm really serious. I need this. I want this. This is something that's needful in my life. We can go back to the book of Daniel, where Daniel starts praying and God finally sends an angel. It takes 28 days. The angel shows up and says, on the first day that you prayed, God sent the answer. It just took me 28 days of fighting through the powers of darkness to get it to you. But if the guy had quit and said, well, forget it. I'm going to go eat bacon. You know, just give it up. I'm going to walk away from it now. The angels, you know, up there duking it out with the forces of darkness. And then he hears you say, forget it. You know, I'm not going to take a beating if you don't care about it. So when you're praying about something, keep after it. Don't give up. That's not a lack of faith. It is, I know that You are hearing me. And I'm coming back, not in doubt, but I'm coming back to say, I know, I trust it. I trust that You are hearing me, because like Daniel, you heard him on the first day. I trust that. I trust that. I trust that. God does not change, is what the Bible says. He is absolutely consistent, always has been. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. I'm going to read a little bit through this. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore we shall flee, therefore you shall flee, and we shall ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a hill, and as an ensign on a hill. Top of a mountain, ensign on top of a hill. Okay, God's talking to His children, and He's trying to communicate what they need to do, and He tells them very bluntly, thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, in converting, in turning around, quit going the way you're going, and just listen, turn around, and rest shall you be saved. In your turning and in your rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But they wouldn't do it. They had better ideas. Get on the horse and ride away real fast. They'll never catch us. And God said, your enemies are going to be fast too. They'll nail you. And they'll find you just like a beacon on top of a hill. And they'll find you and they will get you. That is New Testament theology, is what He's teaching us. You want to be saved? Turn and rest. Turn. Here's the fear. Here's the problems. Turn to God and say, you shall supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. And rest. Repeat it if you have to. You shall supply all my needs according to your riches in glory. Rest. And you shall be saved in quietness and in confidence. That quietness there it's talking about is, well, you guys have done that kind of stuff where you said, Mom, go quiet yourself. Go sit down in the corner and be quiet. I got a lot of that. Go sit down and be quiet. And that is the quietness of God when you get all woo-hoo. Go someplace if you have to, literally, and sit down and say, I'm going to be quiet before God. Quiet yourself and know that I am God. I'm going to quiet myself. Quit running around. Quit fleeing the problems that you've got in life. Quit all the stirring up. Turn around. Sit down. Take a rest. Breathe a few deep breaths. Quiet yourself. Be quiet before the Lord. Know that He's God. Say His words and say, He does not lie. He does not lie. God is not like people. God does not lie. He says that He will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Quiet yourselves. Get that peace that's a relational thing with God. Forget about what's going on in the world and just focus on that relationship that you have with God. And in that, you shall be saved. What are your problems? Quiet yourself before the Lord. Quit shrieking in your mind, oh my gosh, I've got to do this, oh my gosh. All these problems are caving in all around me, and what am I going to do? 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 Turn around, sit down, take a rest. Quiet yourself. Say the words of God. Have some confidence in what He says and say, well, that settles it. 10 minutes later, if it comes back, do it again. And you keep doing this until the answers manifest themselves, and then you can come back to this church and say, oh my gosh, look what God has done for me. We have a New Testament, a new covenant, a new contract, and it is a contract of peace. James, I'm just going to read some stuff to you now. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The peacemakers are known as the children of God. You can't make peace with people out here, warring factions, until you yourself are at peace with God. And when you have that relational peace which Jesus gave us, and the Holy Spirit is the one who was sent to comfort us, lead us, guide us, when we have that relational peace with God, heck with the world. Things are going to be all right. God said so. No, 1,000 are falling at my left, 10,000 at my right. Dexlexic sets in again. Though this stuff is going on all around me, I'm looking at my God and He's saying, it's going to be all right, kid. You just keep walking toward me. Everything is going to be all right. I will take care of you. Don't look! Just keep walking. Just keep walking. And He will lead, guide, and direct. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bethany, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace, which is favor, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise, blessing, knowing that ye are therefore called, that you should inherit a blessing. Actually, I like the way it says it in other scriptures, in other translations. Don't render evil for evil, cursing for cursing, but through this blessing, and you're called to give a blessing to those people who curse you and all that kind of stuff, and you shall inherit a blessing. When those people honk you off, don't try to get even. Bless them. And when you bless them, you'll inherit a blessing. It's not your problem what it is or how you get it. Your only problem is when those people honk you off, bless you. God, bless those people who are treating me like crap. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Nothing's going to honk them off worse than the fact that you're getting blessed. And a lot of times the reason we get angry at people is this. They hurt us. At almost all the base of every anger, the source is a hurt. And that anger will stay there until that hurt is dealt with. So if you're angry at someone or something, go back and find out what the hurt is and ask God to deal with that hurt, to heal that hurt. And trust Him to meet all your needs in that area. And this will go away and you'll be able to bless them. Bless them. And when you're blessing them, God says you will be inheriting a blessing. For all that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Speak blessings to even those bad people. Let him eschew evil and do good. And let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You're the righteous. Always remember that. You are the righteous. And His ears are open unto their prayers. Are you the righteous? Yes. How'd you get it? By a gift. But is it yours? Yes. Therefore I have it. God's always got His ears open to your prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You are part of the righteous. And I would like to go on and read more, like 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, 14. Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Him. How? In peace, without spot and blameless. How are you to be found? At peace. That resting confidence that everything's going to be all right because He doesn't lie, without spot and blameless. Are you that? Yes, I was given the gift of righteousness. 2 John chapter 1, verse 3. Yeah, taking on. It's easy when there's only one chapter in 2 John. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. And even you can go all the way over to Jude chapter 1. There is only one chapter in Jude. Jude chapter 1, verse 2. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. The only reason I was doing this is because I want us to understand that this whole concept, this whole New Testament idea that's so important, this new contract we are under, is one of peace. You want to know if your prayers are answered? Do you have peace? Do you want to know if God's leading you? Do you have peace? Do you want to know if you're going to be healed? Do you have peace? Do you want to know if you've got problems coming your way? Do you have peace? And if you don't have it, you just keep right after it and keep praying. That's what this whole praying through that people talk about is. You just keep talking to God until you know that you have confidence that He has told you in His Word or straight, however it is, that you have confidence that He's going to do what He tells you. Then you have peace, and it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You know that you know because you have that peace. And He's always saying, be found in peace with God. Be found in peace. Peace to you, peace to you, peace to you. The prophets, the apostles kept saying to the people, peace, peace to you, peace to you. Do you think, like I said, that once is important, twice is extremely important, three times is emphatic, and I have read to you Jude, I've read to you John, Peter, Matthew, Jesus Christ Himself, and they all keep coming back with that word, peace, 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 Paul, peace, peace. Folks, the peace of God is more important than gold and silver. The peace of God, and when you've got it, you know it, and you can walk with confidence in this world. The children walked through that fiery furnace. They had peace and confidence in their God. We can have it the same way. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we're resting in You. You made promises to us, and You don't lie. You're not like men. You told us that You'd supply all of our needs, so everything's going to be okay. Thank You for that. Father, when we get out here, there's going to be problems crop up. Help us to turn back, have that rest, seek that peace, and know You don't lie. Everything's going to be all right, regardless of what's going on. Father, in the name of Jesus, He gave us peace as a relationship with You. Help us to grasp, or actually relax, and know that You're going to take care of us. Help us to relax in those arms of God. Help us to relax in the hands of God. Help us to relax and say, He'll carry my burden. He's already carried it. It's going to be all right. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that peace rest upon this congregation, the peace of Jesus Christ that He gave us. In the name of Jesus, arise and go forth in the peace of God. Amen. Amen.